place is a very efficient building. And as a token for the fact that people need to have something specific that identifies their community with the use of that building, we put 1% into the art for that thing. Now, I was just on the selection committee for Marie Good School, and we had enough money to, and it was, I think, about, it was $30,000. And all that, when it came down to, when you start looking at the amount of cost that would go into what you ended up with, was we needed something over the stairway, because all the kids go to the stairway, even though the place needed a lot of things in it. The only place we could felt that was justified for sure having something was up in the stairway. And we got bids from all over the country. And in the end, the only people that really were in the running that understood what we wanted here in Alaska were Alaskans. The selection committee was made up of several people that were drawn out of the community, not because they knew what they liked or didn't like, but because of the fact that they had a specific area of expertise. I happened to be a gallery owner and around artists. I was part of the regular community that was picked. And because of the fact that I was hand-picked, I was able to offer my expertise, which I would not have been able to do if this Section B of 607 goes in, which has a space for the architect, project management, a member of the Arts Council, which may or may not have expertise, specifically in visual, but in administering the program, one of the principal users, and three lay members. Which means you're not able to, in those three people, pick people from the community that have expertise and know something above and beyond what these people in this specific area do. And each member of that committee, whether they were an architect or a member of the school board, was a member of the community. We didn't go to Anchorage to pick out somebody from Juneau. And when you're in Bethel and you pick people out that have expertise in these things, they are not people that are from outside of the community. Each person on that committee, as it was, has a vested interest in what's being picked there. So I'm definitely opposed to Section B and doing a lottery, because then you just end up with people who know what they like or don't like. And believe me, I have to pick out a picture frame for people constantly. I know a lot of people just don't like, don't like, don't like, don't like. And that can create an awful lot of problems in trying to administer this program. And I think one of the other program administration problems that I've run into in talking to people is the fact that the administration is divided between the Department of Transportation and the Arts Council. And the Arts Council is given responsibilities to steerhead a lot of these things, but they're not really funded. They have one person who is funded to administer the 1% program and all the visual programs. And I wish he were here to explain what he has to do for the amount of funding he gets. What he has to do is go through the Department of Transportation in order to get anything mailed out or any of the paperwork done, which is a very poor way to administer this program. And I think that if that were looked at, that the administration end of this particular thing, which deals with the selection committee and whatever, would be run much more smoothly and much more efficiently and much more homogeneously throughout the state, and that this bill does not need to be amended. I think mainly what we need to do is look at how it's being administered and maybe change the relationship between BOT and the Arts Council and how it's administered. I've already gone into the 1.5%. If artists were paid a union wage, not a single rural project would be completed. And I'm not kidding. Artists are starving in the state, and it's an insult to think that they only get 1.5%. If anything, we should look at how much our artists are being paid per project and start giving the artists their just desserts. Because they have had to, as artists in any culture, have to go through an immense amount of hardship in order to be recognized. In this state, I am glad that we are getting arts in public places, but I would really prefer that we take a little more serious look at how we're treating our artists.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Parrish?
Mr. Chairman, committee. Yeah, I'm Bob Parrish. You folks have never been able to get away from me for years in the Empire. And I'm a wildlife artist, primarily, and a muralist. And I think there's a great misconception about how much money artists make. I'll just give you a couple examples of projects that I've been on. I bid primarily on bush jobs because my work relates to them. They like to see moose and muskrats and so on. And anyway, I went on a Northway project last year. I was up at Northway. I spent 6 months of my summer, from early spring till fall till September, in labor. This was a $7,500 project. And flying up there, transporting, paying for insurance, my food and my materials, coming back down here, meeting one time with the committee, flying up there just to meet with them to see if I was compatible to their ideas. It cost me something like $1,950. So we're not getting rich on these projects. I was out to Carla, and to show you some of the hazards, they lost my panels I was going to put up, and if it hadn't been for another dummy like myself, the construction chief, he says, "Hey, I know where your panels are." And I said, "Where?" He said, "Some janitors picked them up and thrown them in a warehouse." And that turned out to be the case. I talked to the principal. I said, "Where are my panels?" "Ween delivered." He said, "We never saw them." He said, "My staff is really competent." And I said, "How about having your staff go over and look in the warehouse?" And I got next morning, here come the bush plane with my panels. But I lost a week of work after. I had to be back in Juneau within 2 weeks. So I had to work practically night and day to finish the project. But this is beside the point. I think that we should retain the 1% of it, if at all possible. And in the bush jobs particularly, those children are really deprived out there. They have, in Northway, they had no art teacher at all. And I agreed to teach all of the classes at least a couple hours a day and have them put the brush in their hand. And I'm sure today that there's a lot of kids going around saying, "Hey, I painted this picture, you know," but there's a real glow on their face when they do this. And in Carlock also, they were so poor that people didn't have money to buy material. But I turned them on to painting on white rocks on the beach and on pieces of bone, whale bone, walrus bone, whatever was available. And they picked right up on it. They were running around before I left showing, "Here's my big project on a rock." Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of value in us trying to give them as good a shake as we do people in Anchorage or any place else. I guess this is about all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for your patience in waiting to testify. Jay Broderick, Penpage. Thank you.
I'd like to pass this on. I'm a working Alaskan artist. My name is Jay Broderick. I paint under the name Jay Broderick. I have participated in the 1% program in the past. I was awarded a bid in 1981 for a Fairbanks International Airport project. The commission that I received was $5,000 to paint a 5x26-foot acrylic painting. The painting itself took me 9 months to complete. The whole project was 22 months total in making. I worked at this project full time and left my employment position in order to create this painting. So therefore, I'm well aware of the sacrifices that artists make to have the opportunity to paint these pictures or to do these types of works with the 1% program. I want to make the comment that other states do restrict their art programs to their own residents. And I'm in favor of Alaska restricting the 1% program to Alaskan artists. I have no problem with that whatsoever. In a February issue in the Fairbanks News Miner, one of the council, Alaska State Council, estimated that in February, or she estimated in comment in February, that 60% of the commissions were given to Alaskan artists. And the facts, according to the annual report, as of October 85, actually 75% of that money went to outside artists. And I think that this is something that they make it sound like we're getting a lot of these commissions, which maybe we are, but the big money, the majority of the money is going outside. I'm in favor of Bill 606 as far as restricting Alaskan artists, and I feel that Alaskan artists can provide a variety of art for public places, and I feel this could be achieved by the selection committee if a variety is a main objective. I wonder what is meant by cultural values. Is this referring to Alaska customs or values? If so, how can an outside artist who has never even been to Alaska have a feel for our values? Or is this referring to a high level of development, which may imply that Alaskan artists are inferior to complete such works? As far as not favoring government dictating who can submit proposals, I feel we forget who is paying for this art. This is not private interest, but our state money. Our state regulates and restricts non-residents to other programs. We do not share a permanent fund with the lower 48. Our government has stressed in the past local hire. I suggest we consider it also for the 1% program. And I want to make the comment, too, that I hate to see the budget get cut to a 0.5%. I can understand the reasoning behind it because of the discontent in the public. I can understand their viewpoint, but I hate to see the budget get cut. I agree that there should be a lot more public involvement with the selection of this artwork, and I have no problems with the general public reviewing my proposals. Lay members and the people who are not expertise, I have no problem with any of them reviewing my proposals in a bid. And I think that's all I have to say.
Representative
Balchuk? I'll ask you the same question I asked before, because art, as I've always felt, it's a free-spirited community, and obviously the testimony that we're getting here is some of the best testimony. I mean, the manner of presentation on any subject. It's very interesting. But we're dealing with art in public places, and that's... Who should be the judge of it? Obviously the public, it's their dollars or what have you. How do you go about judging it and being fair? Should the artist be the judge? In other words, as you put that, and I've seen your beautiful work, did you feel that should satisfy you? Who are you trying to satisfy? How do you determine, quote, the public interest?
I agree that the general public cannot all be satisfied with your work. You're always going to have some people who do not like what you do. But I believe that the majority of the public should not be repulsed by the work or should be able to enjoy the work. I'm talking about the majority. There's always going to be a few that don't agree. I also feel that artists should not be on the selection committee. We are very opinionated. I feel as an individual, I know that I know what I like and I have my very distinct taste in art. I'm also quite prejudiced when it comes to certain types of art and what I feel art is. I have my own opinion, as does every artist. So therefore, I don't really feel that artists should participate. They should set their own feelings aside and let someone else, meaning the general public, have a little more input in what art is selected for these works.
Representative Boucher.
Yeah, I walk into a building, there's a 1% art there. What should that do for me?
I think that it should, I like to feel that art makes you feel good, that you should get an emotional response from your art. If it's for a public place, we don't want that emotional response to be a bad emotional response. I know that as an artist, sometimes when I create a painting for my own reasons, the feelings given from that piece may be distasteful, but this is not public art, this is my own art. If I'm going to be dealing in a public place, then I feel the art should be generally accepted by the public and be have a feeling of well-being along with it.
That's only because this meeting, I don't have another committee meeting, that we are going over our time.
I think it's very important. Obviously, we had more testimony on this than almost anything else.
Right. I know, that's why I was glad we were able to go over. We have one more witness that I would like to get to. Thank you very much. Mr. Gardner?
Hi, I'm Paul Gardner. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. I'm a local artist, and I recently installed a rather controversial piece in the Juneau Airport. I have a couple of things that I kind of prepared, and a number of the people have probably more eloquently said the same facts, but I'd like to run through some of that, and also to answer a couple of other questions that have been asked people. I think since this is a very young program, the reason that a lot of the large commissions have been going out of state, or one possible explanation for it, is the fact that not a lot of Alaskan artists have been given the opportunity to have the experience in doing large-scale fabrication processes. For me, the airport piece was by far and away the largest project I've ever been involved in, and I'm certainly feel fortunate for having the opportunity to be involved in the program and be able to expand the scale of work that I've been able to work on. I think that that's probably going to change quite a bit as the years go along, because the Alaskan artists are given the opportunity to work on these projects. The kind of things that are involved, Bob went into, and when you haven't had experience in major projects before, it's very hard to see what comes up. I've never had been fortunate enough in the past to be able to hire welders and contract with a number of people, had to deal with getting insurance and major installation. And it's extremely complicated, and I learned a whole lot in the process. I think that the present law is a very good one as it stands. I think that there are ways to fine-tune it, and that probably one of the best ways to fine-tune it would be to clear up the administration problem between the State Arts Council and DOT. I think if someone was definitely in charge of running the program, they could make a lot of administrative changes to the program that don't necessarily need legislative actions. The Arts Council has pretty much had to absorb a lot of political fallout because of some of the selections that it made, and they're not completely responsible for those selections at this point, because they are working with DOT. I think many of the public's misconceptions about the program could be changed by a lot more public relations on the part of the Arts Council or the people administrating the program and presenting the facts to the public. I think the testimony we've had today from people all over the state has been pretty informative, and I feel that I've learned quite a bit from it, too. I think the program is very impressive, and that itself can stand for its own best defense. Between 75% and 80% of the commissions currently are going to Alaskan artists. That's information I received from the Visual Arts Director of the Arts Council last week. And I'd be real surprised if any other state-funded capital projects can, or many other things can boast that kind of record, Mr. Higgins, 75% or 80% to contractors or workers in the state. I think the Alaskan residency requirement of HB 606 is unnecessary, even though I could potentially benefit by the lessened competition. A person that has sat on a number of these committees, that the Arts Council director told me last week, the Arts Director, that by and large part, most of the proposals he receives, the very finest proposals are coming from Alaskan artists. And I think the 75-80% is a fact of that also, and that in a sense, I don't think artists need legislative help to be competing with. Alaskan artists don't need your help to be competing with artists from other places. I think we have to have a real diversity in our public artwork, in that provincialism is one of the major enemies of the contemporary Alaskan artists. And I think the Alaska public in the long term will be hurt by provincialism, whether it be all working towards oil. I think we need to diversify, and I think legislating provincialism in the arts would be very destructive in the long term. Under the current act, there's quite a bit of opportunity, I think, for public participation in the committee. The airport committee was all made up of Juneau residents. There were two people that would be considered arts community members, an art consultant from town, and the curator of visual arts at the State Museum. The rest of the people were people that are very much involved in the use of the building, the airport manager, DOT representative, the project architect, and I'm not sure if some other people, Alaska Airlines representative. They made a decision, and from what I've been able to hear from talking to a couple of the committee members, it was a decision that everyone agreed on. And and not long ago, the Arts Council, I know, publicly requested letters of interest from people all over the state to be on committees, and I think that that's a very good idea for that someone else brought up of screening people that want to be on committees instead of doing it by lottery. I think choosing people by lottery for a commission is really disagreeable. I'm sure boards and commissions or the permanent fund investment group would have a real hard time dealing with choosing their board members by lottery. And as far as putting brass plaques up with the artist's name and title of the piece and all that, I agree with that. And in the contract I signed with DOT, that is included in the contract that that's to be done. So I'm not sure if it's necessary to legislate that because it's already in the contract that I signed, and I'm not sure when that'll happen, but it is there. I think the program's extremely important for visual artists in the state. I've heard figures that of the artists that have made profits on public art in the state, the average is about $6 an hour. I personally put in over 600 hours of labor on my piece and made approximately $7 an hour. The vast majority of the money that I spent was in town at local merchants using local technical experts to help me do processes that I wasn't familiar with. And from listening to people today, it seems like we're not going to save any money overall by reducing to half a percent. So I really don't feel that that's something that can be considered. It should be considered. But I guess that's about all I can say. In response to your question about whether the artist or the public should be pleased by these, I feel that it has to be both. Personally, I think the best piece of art that the artist is going to be able to produce is going to be something that the artist is pleased with themselves. And hopefully that's going to be conveyed to the public also. I think that I was extremely sincere in what I was doing with this piece. And I'm sure that the amount of people that contact your offices for various things are primarily calling because they want something or because they're mad about something. I don't know if that's really the case, but it certainly has been the case as far as people that have been excited enough or had a strong enough opinion to write the paper or to call in on talk programs that have been involved in or anything else, that on the street contact I've had with the community in responses to my piece have been overwhelmingly favorable. And that's not just from my peers and friends, it's from people that have seen my face because of publicity fish market or the hardware store, on and on and on. So those people aren't excited enough to make a response to the empire. But I think in judging community support, we have to somehow be able to get a very broad spectrum of the community involved in it, not the people that are going to be excited enough or feel enough about the program to write your office or write the papers.
Representative Boucher.
I'm going to stay with my question. You understand why I'm asking you about it's public art. Do you feel if there was a broader cross-section of people that were taking it, that they would lean favorably toward the art? And do you feel that should be the way it's judged?
No, I think some of the things Jane said about lowest common denominator are still true, that and the history of art, I think, is still probably relevant, that the general public is going to be a number of years behind what's going on in the arts. And I think that's probably important that artists keep making changes and moving and progressing forward. And in a sense, just kind of direct the public and educate the public. I think that public involvement is real important, and I think that artists probably should be required to somehow do something for the public at the installation, like Bob did, helping students out in Carla, or in some way being responsible to the community that they put the piece in by doing public programs, explaining their piece, explaining what they were thinking about, the amount of time, the materials, the process, all those kinds of things, to just give the public a chance to look at it a little bit, to spend a little more time with. I have spent a whole lot of time out at the airport, kind of anonymously, just kind of standing on the stairway or sitting in the bar and just watching people go up and down the stairwell and making comments. And a lot of the negative comments are coming from people that aren't looking at them. They're going up and down real fast, and that's probably one of the problems of the piece, is that it's a real transitory place. People are moving past it about real quick, and I spent a whole lot of time, a lot of late hours, just thinking about every single move that I made on it. And it's hard to convey that to the public.
Since this is Representative Hanley's bill, I would like to have, did you have a question?
I just had a comment, but I thought you were making a good case for Alaskan artists, you know, as I listened to you, and I also thought you made a very good case for the fact that we can diversify, because I think your piece is different, and I have no complaint, but I think you said it's controversial. And certainly Bill Ray's pieces out there, Juno at Night, and I've looked at that, and I've looked at your pieces. I've gone back and forth between the airport. And I think that looking at Jay Broderick's work over here, and looking at that list, and some of these projects in the rural school districts, kind of say to me that we have that kind of diversification available now within the state that perhaps wasn't here. So I think you make a good point. I think whether I can appreciate to the fullest extent all of your time and effort and thought that went into that, I recognize that you're an artist, and I look at that now as I go, and I've read the explanation of your piece, and I think it's certainly a different piece, and it's to me proof that we have a different kind of art available, and that we have many different kinds of art available right here. And I guess I appreciate the fact that many projects are going in the state, but the fact remains that most of the money is going outside the state, and perhaps even to respond to what Steve said, working for $6 and $7 an hour, I guess I would like to see, you know, some more artists within the state develop, and I guess that was the point, you know, and looking at Alaskan artists, because a recognition that a great deal, when I was on a school board, many of the projects went outside, you know, and a lot of the money, you know, and the ones that stayed in were some of the lesser priced, and the big prices went outside, and I think we've got to develop some artists here, and I think that you're a perfect example of some of the new kinds of art that can be developed. If we'll look to some of the people that are kind of coming up in the state and the kind of diversity that's already available. So,
I think you're making a very, very good point for keeping the program at 1%, or in fact increasing the program to 1.5, however far you want to go.
See, more than 50% of the funds went outside. Even if we decreased it, we'd be spending more on the state. Because in 3 years, 83, 84, 85, more than 50% of that money, of $2 million, more than 50%, went outside. Reduced, we would still be spending more within the state if we did it with Alaskan artists.
I think that if we do give it time, that these figures are going to go higher and higher.
I just have to say something. The irony to me is that now that it's going to be just Alaskan artists, there's only going to be a 0.5%. And that to me is just one half of 1%. No, it will not be more money. It'll be less. The artists themselves will get less because of it's only going to be a half of 1% for the projects, whereas before it was 1%.
But more than 50% has been going outside.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but they're going to pay the Alaskan artists less for doing what they were in competition with the people from outside. I really do have to close this. I have an appointment and we've gone over, but Mr. Jenkins, Representative Jenkins, you had something more to say. We will thank you all for coming, and it's been a very, very interesting and enlightening hearing, and the bills will be discussed, held over, and we'll be hearing them next week we have some time on previously heard. I don't have a specific date because we have several bills that were held over from this week, but I will let you know, because Representative Hanley, I feel like we haven't had a chance to hear more about your presentation as to...